You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. It's Thursday, January 18th, 2018. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am Fantasy and here with you every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern weekdays. Of course, as always, we'll have a lot to cover today. I'll give you the news, I'll give you the analysis, and everything that you need to know going from last night and going forward. It was a very busy night in the NBA. If you played Anthony Davis in Daily, based on what he did the past two games, I kind of feel bad for you. We'll go into that. It was a good night for Carmelo Anthony. He's told reporters, specifically ESPN, that he's feeling better in his role. So a lot to talk about with the NBA, some notable injuries, bad news on Kawhi Leonard, a scary night for Chris Dunn, and we'll tell you what went on around the association. The NFL, obviously the conference championship games are this weekend. We have the Jaguars and the Patriots, and looks like Tom Brady suffered a minor injury in practice. The most famous golden hand in all of the land doesn't seem to be serious. We'll tell you more details about that as well. And, of course, we also have Minnesota and Philadelphia. Published reports indicating that Vikings are concerned about field conditions, but it's a good thing that they were aware of it already. We'll have some free agency news. What's the latest on Jarvis Landry, and what do he and his representatives want from the Miami Dolphins? We'll talk about that. Of course, lots of coaching news going on. The Jets and the Steelers making changes. Some more changes are on the way. Major League Baseball, the latest on J.D. Martinez, who's coming off a career year, and where he's going to land and for how much. Also, some other rumors. What's going on with Billy Hamilton? Is he staying or is he going? And where will his speed be on display next year? We have golf teeing off today. Still got time to get your lineups in. Go to the golf tab on rotoexperts.com. Check out our latest previews and picks from our writers, including Matt Rumack, who you know every week if you follow rotoexperts.com. Of course, go to dailyroto.com. Check out their great new product. It's been built out like never before. You can get everything you need in terms of tools, projections, and analysis for today's tournament, which will tee off just before noon Eastern time. We'll also have some news from a light night in the National Hockey League. And then esports, of course, as Overwatch League resumed stage one, began week two. We had one of the best teams in the league facing off against one of the worst. You'll hear some very interesting numbers from how many people watch this during the first week. Some other esports news and some other industry news as the latest from Nebraska as they are trying to pass a bill there to get daily gaming legalized, but there are some opponents of it who don't appear to be too well educated about what it is. But also with the way Daly has been pushing kind of some of the borders recently with U.S. Fantasy, etc., and some of these DraftKings One event games, the line is becoming more blurred to some between gambling and fantasy. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll also talk about that on the Fantasy News Desk, 3 to 4 Eastern today with myself and Tony Cicada. We'll start off with the National Football League next. Is Tom Brady okay? Or are they going to have to go down to Dodd Avenue in Boston and start praying in the streets? We'll tell you next.
Play
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, here with you every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Let's start with the NFL. As a source told ESPN that Tom Brady should be okay after injuring his hand in practice yesterday. According to the Boston Herald, Brady suffered a jam hand after a teammate accidentally ran into him. Doesn't look like this is a major concern. Of course, some people in some quarters may overanalyze this, as you know, people have often talked about the way to beat Brady, and we've seen when the Giants even did it in those Super Bowls, is to physically beat him up and knock him off of his spot. But Brady's very resilient, even at his age. There's nothing that I would necessarily be worrying about here. Mike Gillislee was limited in practice, as was Rex Burkhead, but with both of them available possibly this week, Burkhead is finally expected to come back to the Patriots for this week. So Gillislee will be out of the mix. You wonder how it sort of confuses the Patriots' backfield for daily fantasy perspectives. If Burkhead's in there, he can catch passes, he can get runs at the goal line, but it's how much work he's going to get, you just don't know. We saw James White involved in the mix. Deion Lewis appeared to be the lead running back down the stretch in the regular season. But this could be a very, very confusing backfield. If you're playing DFS, you might want to veer in other directions here. The Eagles also have a committee, but you figure Jay Ajayi is going to lead it. I think you know what you get in Minnesota with Murray and McKinnon. I think McKinnon's a nice punt this week, because I think that kind of running back on the edges, she could give the Eagles a little bit of trouble, especially if he catches some passes out of the backfield. And then you got your other game. I think obviously you know what you get with Leonard Fournette and T.J. Yeldon. As for Fournette, he was limited as well with an ankle injury, and doesn't seem to be anything that's going to affect him. He was able to finish the game after being walked to the locker room last week with the ankle injury. Nothing to really worry about with Leonard Fournette at all. Maybe from a seasonal perspective next year, that's something I would consider, though. I'd be lying if I didn't. I would certainly think about it when I'm talking about Fournette, maybe compared to somebody else close to him. If I'm a tough decision with Fournette and another player, I might lean the other player because Fournette seems to have a history of ankle injuries. Adam Thielen, dealing with a lower back problem, did not practice, but it is just a day of maintenance. According to the Palm Beach Post, the player representative for free agent wide receiver Jarvis Landry said that the Dolphins wide receiver is not going to be willing to accept a hometown discount to stay with the Dolphins. He's a free agent, and he wants Davante Adams' money. Davante Adams, after the season, signing with the Packers for 4 years for $58 million with $18 million guaranteed. And with $14.5 million in that contract, Adams is now the fourth highest paid wideout in the league. Last year, Landry, 112 catches, 987 yards, 9 touchdowns. This guy, in 2 of the last 3 years, has caught 110 or more passes. This year, despite being just under 1,000 yards, He scored a career-high 9 touchdowns. To me, Jarvis Landry is one of the most underrated wide receivers in all of football. The Miami Dolphins would be making a big mistake letting him go. Him and Ryan Tannehill, who are expected to come back for next season, will obviously have a good rapport. I just worry that with Tannehill back, the touchdowns could go back down. Look, I could enjoy seeing as a fantasy player Jarvis Landry maybe somewhere else. The guy is going to vacuum up catches wherever he goes. I think with the 9 touchdown receptions this past season, he showed that he has a bigger skill set than we think. He can be a red zone threat as well as a guy that sucks up all the volume. Now, it really depends on where he goes. There are a lot of teams that can use a wide receiver like this, but I wouldn't best bet on anything less than 90 catches and 950 yards and 7 touchdowns from Landry if he leaves Miami. Really does depend on where he goes. A team that is very devoid at wide receiver, maybe Landry, after he's done everything, deserves to be on some sort of contender. And I think, you know, this is a guy that can go out here and pretty much have a wide pick of places that he would like to play. Could you imagine in Houston, actually? And that's one place I thought of, Jarvis Landry, as I start to fantasize here, across from DeAndre Hopkins and with Deshaun Watson. What about in Dallas with Dak Prescott? Dez Bryant, overrated, a shell of what he is. That team really, really needs a wide receiver. And how about I don't think the Giants would be a fit, although he would love to go back and play with his college teammate. I really can't see that happening. If the Redskins bring back Kirk Cousins, wouldn't Jarvis Landry look good there as well? Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald is maybe going to be going off into the sunset. San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, maybe that's another possible place for him to go. I think New Orleans would be a spectacular landing spot, but with a guy like Alvin Kamara there, that could actually hurt his numbers, so I don't actually want to see him go to a place like that. You're looking across some other possible sites in the NFC. Chicago could really desperately use a proven wide receiver, and Mitchell Trubisky would just use him as a complete vacuum, as Ryan Tannehill has certainly done. They don't need him in a place like Detroit. Of course, maybe Bill Belichick would want to stick it to the Dolphins in the division, but I can't see him landing with somewhere like New England. Buffalo is a team very, very devoid of receiving talent. I think of all the teams that I've spoke about so far, Buffalo and Chicago would be two very good landing spots for Jarvis Landry next season. Baltimore can use a dependable wide receiver. That's another place that I could see him possibly ending up next season. Indianapolis could use somebody maybe across from T.Y. Hilton as well. No room for him in Denver. No room for him with the Chargers. No room for him with the Raiders. Maybe the Chiefs. Maybe the Chiefs need a reliable wide receiver for their young quarterback next year. So I would have to say good landing spots are Buffalo, Chicago, and maybe Kansas City. I'd probably say those three landing spots would be really, really good for Jarvis Landry. Producer Don Burns, are you available? I know I have to talk to Don Burns about this, if he is indeed available. Good. Just wanted to get your insight here this morning, because I know Jarvis Landry is your favorite player. You're a big Dolphins fan. What do you think of Buffalo, Chicago, and Kansas City as possible landing spots? I thought of those as three prime places if you were to leave in Miami.
Well, if you were to leave Miami, I really do like the Texans. I wasn't really thinking Texans, but I heard you talking he'd be playing across from Hopkins and playing with Deshaun Watson, a healthy Deshaun Watson. That'd be a good spot, but it'd be a real deficit to the Miami Dolphins, like I was telling Chris Venture down here. The only reason Devontae Parker and Kenny Stills get open is because Jarvis Landry catches 90 balls a year, and he runs the middle of that field. So that'd be a really real bad deal for the Dolphins, who just made the playoffs last year.
All right. Thanks a lot, Don Burns, our Jarvis Landry expert. Okay. Let's move on to some other NFL news. According to ESPN, it looks like Terrell Pryor might be a good fit. That's according to Pat McManaman. He believes that Pryor is a good fit to return to Cleveland. Pryor's openly expressed a desire to return there. Last year, a huge bust, maybe the worst in fantasy football. 20 catches, 240 yards, and one touchdown for Washington. Seems like he's a huge Jackson guy and likes the atmosphere. I can't believe somebody actually wants to go to Cleveland. But, you know, maybe this can revive the value of Terrell Pryor, you would think. But then you have to look at the fact that Josh Gordon is back there and Corey Coleman is there. And maybe this guy just isn't worth our fantasy time no matter where he ends up. We'll talk about the latest NFL coaching rumors next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. We continue to talk National Football League, NBA just around the corner. Let's move on to some other news here. According to the Tampa Bay Times, seems like, and we were talking about this yesterday, it doesn't seem like the Buccaneers will bring back Doug Martin next year. Going to be 29 years old, coming off of his worst season. Maybe could compete for some playing time somewhere because of his past level of production at times, but will probably be drafted as a fantasy backup no matter where he ends up. After one season, the New York Jets fired their offensive coordinator, John Morton. The Jets had the 28th ranked offense in the NFL. Once Josh McCown went out, this offense actually had no spunk. It seemed like there was more going on internally from what I've been reading more than anything else, that he just didn't fit well. But this team did play better on offense with McCown in there than expected, at least in the passing game when he was available, as Robbie Anderson certainly emerged as a very good potential number two wide receiver two in fantasy football when he's got a good quarterback. And Jermaine Kearse certainly exceeded some expectations early on, but the Jets' running game was pretty abysmal. Look, Matt Forte, can't expect a lot from him at this point of his career anymore, but Bilal Powell was certainly a big bust. Lots of news coming out of Pittsburgh lately, as we thought might happen, and it did yesterday, Mike Tomlin announcing that he was parting ways with Todd Haley as the offensive coordinator, that the team was not renewing his contract. A lot of reports over the years about friction between himself and Ben Roethlisberger. And the following news leads you to believe that maybe some of that's true, as the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporting that the Steelers are preparing to hire move quarterbacks coach Randy Fitchner into the offensive coordinator spot. if there were real problems with this offense in terms of play calling, et cetera, you can only speculate that the quarterback's coach would not take over. But according to published reports, Randy Fichtner was very close to Ben Roethlisberger and even acted as a go-between between him and Haley over the years. Pittsburgh overall was third in passing offense this year, third in total offense. So any talk of a new guy coming in and maybe tweaking things probably out the window, although the play calling, which came under so much fire this past weekend, should probably improve. But doesn't mean that Todd Haley is out of a job, because the Jets, who just fired John Morton, according to ESPN, they are already talking about Haley as a replacement for John Morton. Maybe it's a thing of where if Haley can get along with better in New York, although he does seem to have something of a reputation as not being a good fit wherever he goes, from a personal standpoint or chemistry standpoint, although he has been often hailed as a strong coordinator. But look, that's outside speculation. And like we've seen failed coaches start to pop up elsewhere on these coaching trees. Ben McAdoo could end up in Cleveland. Brian Schottenheimer in Seattle. So these guys get recycled quickly, even though they have some failures. The Cardinals, rumors continue to spin about what's going to go on there. According to Arizona Central, defensive coordinator James Betcher is still a Cardinal candidate for the vacancy, although a lot of others, including Falcons special teams coordinator Keith Armstrong, are being mentioned for this job. Betcher led the Cardinals to a 6th-ranked defensive showing last year, but my guess is I think they would want to bring in an outside candidate and kind of change the culture there a little bit after what has happened recently. So that's it for the NFL. Of course, there'll be more coaching rumors coming up. And as we get closer to game time on Sunday, a lot more to talk about. Move on to fantasy basketball in a second, but wanted to know if you're thinking of giving daily fantasy sports a try. Well, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single-entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. With free entry, simply sign up and enter. Get it all started at www.fantasyfactor.com. That's www.fantasyfactor.com. Let's move on to the NBA. And Kawhi Leonard, who missed the first 27 games of the season with a quadriceps problem, recently suffered a shoulder injury, was only able to play 9 games, averaged a little over 16 points a game, tried to push through it, did look good at times. But now Greg Popovich telling reporters yesterday that Kawhi Leonard just doesn't have the confidence in his quadriceps. The pain is not going the other way. According to him, it's going the other direction. So Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely as he continues to deal with this quadriceps issue. That means that LaMarcus Aldridge will still play a major role, and we get into the highlights of the night that we'll have more good things to tell you about Aldridge. Kyrie Irving has a sore left shoulder, did not practice yesterday. He is going to be iffy to play against the Sixers tonight. So you want to tune into Lineup Lock Live with Tony Cincata and Dane Martinez. See if he's going to be available. And the main thing you want to do is go to dailyroto.com, get their seasonal pass, their monthly pass, their weekly pass. They have a live chat for premium subscribers with a lot of the analysts in there. They'll give you all the up-to-date information on whether he's going to play or not, along with lineup alerts in your inbox. If you're a Daily Roto subscriber, there is absolutely no way that you can miss any information on possible game time decisions like this. Chris Dunn, very, very scary injury last night. Chris Dunn went up for a dunk, hung on the rim, and then came down and fell face first on his mouth. Now, the good news is he didn't have any concussion symptoms. That's what the report after was the game, but he did dislocate two front teeth. He's going to be reevaluated today. You have to consider him day to day. If you watch it on film, it was very, very painful. I gave you the report. Don't cue the video up if you don't like pain. If you do, go ahead and do it. Brandon Ingram tweaked his sprained ankle. I'm going to talk about the Lakers here, who lost again last night, and they're 0-8 without Lonzo Ball. And the Lakers, they're just walking wounded right now. Brandon Ingram tweaked his sprained ankle during last night's game. He missed the final 15-plus minutes. Luke Walton said he could have came back if he's needed, so maybe this is not major. Kyle Kuzma went to the locker room in the final quarter as he injured his left hand. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was not able to play the second half. This Lakers team, which lost last night, as we said, we'll tell you more about that, very, very banged up. Avery Bradley was able to play through a groin injury yesterday and scored 19 points. But he's told reporters after the game he's heading back to Philadelphia. He wants a visit for a specialist, and this groin injury is still plaguing him. One of the probably the scariest injury of the night, though, was Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell got dunked on by Robin Lopez and actually fell and twisted his ankle. Maybe it wasn't as scary, the injury itself, but it was probably not good to see him wheeled off the court. He had to actually put him in a wheelchair. They had to get him in crutches and a walking boot. After Lopez dunked on him, he suffered a significant ankle injury. He has a sprain. I'm not a doctor or Dr. A from Inside Injuries. Doesn't look good to me. But that's my naked eye, not Dr. A's. He's going to get MRI today. But I wouldn't be not surprised if he's out for a while. But of course, hey, I could be wrong. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a fantasy analyst. I report the injuries. I don't analyze them. That's what InsideInjuries.com is for. Marcus Gasol missed the Grizzlies' win over the Knicks last night with an illness. Jamal Murray is not expected to play tomorrow as he continues to deal with a concussion. Marcus Smart, questionable to play against the Sixers tonight. And also, Gerald Green and Trevor Ariza were suspended for one game for their part in an altercation with the Clippers earlier this week. According to an ESPN report, the Rockets are very upset that no discipline issued for Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers off the bench. We'll give you the highlights of the night from the NBA next here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Let's go over some of the highlights from last night. Before we do, we got to let you know that Anthony Davis wasn't one of them. Third game of the week, and he scored 40 in the first two this week. So, playing back-to-back, and the third game of the week against the Atlanta Hawks. First off, the Pelicans losing to the Hawks as DeMarcus Cousins missed a shot at the buzzer, and the Hawks have now won five straight home games. Hawks have been pretty competitive recently, but they were able to cool off Anthony Davis in a major way. He scored 45 against the Knicks on Monday, and on Monday, and then 2 days later, he scored 48 Well, actually, 48 against the Knicks earlier in the week, then 45 against the Celtics, and playing a back-to-back last night. A season-low 8 points, missed 6 of 8 from the field, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks in 38 minutes. So a very off night for Anthony Davis. Look, it happens. Hassan Whiteside, though, with a season-high 27 points in 32 minutes, 10 for 12 from the field, and 6 block shots. Even a key one of Anacupo at one point, as Miami beat Milwaukee 106-101. The Heat have now won 8 of their past 9. Milwaukee has dropped 4 of 6. Andre Drummond. A lot of analysts are saying that he's in the best shape of his career right now. Certainly looked good last night as Detroit lost to Toronto by 5. He had 25 points and 17 rebounds in 38 minutes. We mentioned Kawhi Leonard. LaMarcus Aldridge. The guy is happy. He's glad to be playing in San Antonio. He got a contract extension. He's put last year behind him. They're feeding him the ball in the low post, even on fast breaks, and it's showing. Last night, San Antonio beat Brooklyn 195, and the Nets had no answers in the post for LaMarcus Aldridge, who had 34 points and 8 rebounds, 13 of 24 from the field, 8 for 8 from the line. LaMarcus Aldridge now has 7 30-point games this year. Klay Thompson, as Golden State beat Chicago in one of the more entertaining games of the night, 119-112, 38 points in 37 minutes, 12 of 22, 7 from the field, 7 of 13 from three-point range, 7 for 9 from the free throw stripe, and Thompson was oh so impressive. The Bulls were playing really tight defense last night, but with hands in his face, even one big three down the stretch, Thompson was just hitting from everywhere. The Bulls couldn't have played better defense last night or tried to play better defense, and Thompson was still just hitting everything. But it wasn't his season high. His season high is 45. Donovan Mitchell, boy, is this guy really impressive. As Utah, of course, beat Sacramento 120-105. 34 points on 14 of 19 from the field. Why was it 14 of 19 from the field? Because the guy was constantly driving to the basket and dunking. It was a highlight film for Donovan Mitchell last night. He actually absolutely embarrassed Sacramento last night. Steph Curry had a great game last night, too, shooting-wise. 30 points in 35 minutes, 10 of 18 from the field, 6 of 11 from three-point range, and 9 rebounds. Inside injuries, if you go to our NBA tab, they're saying that they're still worried about his ankle, but he didn't look bad last night, that's for sure. Nikolai Mirotic last night in that loss against Golden State certainly did his part with 24 points and 6 rebounds. Rodney Hood last night, 24 of 5 points and 8 rebounds for Utah. Willie Cauley-Stein for Sacramento in the loss, 26 points, 10 rebounds. Tyreek Evans was the hero again. He's been the best player for Memphis this year as the Grizzlies split the season series with the Knicks, beating them 105-99. Boy, that big man is really good passer from the post. 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 10 assists. Tyreek Evans began the year as a six-man, and he is really turning out to be something. Carmelo Anthony last night really picked it up as Russell Westbrook didn't have a great game as he injured his thumb in pregame warm-ups. Set him back a little bit, but by later in the game, he was doing well. But Anthony was the guy with the touch last night. Classic Carmelo Anthony, 27 points. That's one off his season high. 10 of 15 from the field, 4 of 6 from three-point range. After the game, Anthony said he's very happy, told ESPN, in his new role as a catch-and-shoot guy rather than an isolation scorer like he was with the Knicks. He's okay ceding to George Hill and Russell Westbrook when he has to, because last night those guys ceded to him, and that's what makes Oklahoma City so dangerous. Kristaps Porzingis last night in the loss at Memphis, 21 points, 8 of 19 from the field, but just 2 of 7 from three-point range. He did have 9 rebounds, and he also had a career-high 6 block shots. So filling up the stat sheet. Brandon Williams, actually inside injuries on the NBA tab on rotoexperts.com earlier this week, mentioned Bogdan Bogdanovic as a great pickup. The Kings are going to rest a lot of their veterans, but give Bogdanovic a lot of playing time. Only owned in 39% of Yahoo leagues, and a career-high 25 points last night as he celebrated being on the front page of rotoexperts.com, along with 6 rebounds. Dwight Howard, 18 points, 15 rebounds, 2 block shots. DeMarcus Cousins, 19 points, 14 rebounds in that loss. Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee in the loss to Miami, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Patty Mills has really stepped forward for the San Antonio Spurs. He's really been an unsung hero. 25 points last night, 26 minutes, 7 for 10 from the field, 7 for 8 from three-point range. Steven Adams for Oklahoma City last night, getting involved with 21 points, 10 rebounds. Some key inside points for him. George Hill, 20 points last night. Kevin Durant, just 19 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. Seemingly an off night for him. Chris Middleton with 25 last night. Jonas Valanciunas, 17 points and 16 rebounds. 5 for 12 from the field as he was popping from outside early. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist with 21 points last night. Jamichael Green has really come on lately for the Memphis Grizzlies, getting it done. 18 points and 13 rebounds in the win over the Knicks. Alan Crabb for Brooklyn last night, 20 points, 8 rebounds. Paul Gasol, even though he's dealing with a hand injury, 13 points, 12 rebounds. Kemba Walker with 19 points. A lot of, not didn't fill up the stat sheet, but a lot of his baskets coming at key times. And Dennis Schroeder with 13 points and 15 assists. So that's pretty much it for the NBA last night. It was definitely a busy night on the hardwood. If you're just tuning in, Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely as he continues to deal with that quad issue. And for Thursday the 18th, here is what's going to be happening in the National Basketball Association. It is a light night for those of you playing daily. The Sixers take on the Celtics at 7 p.m. Eastern at TD Garden. The Magic will take on the Cavaliers. The Magic actually stopped a 6-game losing streak the other night. The Cavaliers have been skidding recently. Welcoming the Magic to their home will certainly help them. The line is Cleveland minus 11. The over-under is 226. On TNT tonight, the game of the night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, it's the Timberwolves against the Rockets. Obviously, they're going to be without Gerald Green and Trevor Ariza, who have been suspended for a game. The Timberwolves lost the other night as they started a long road trip. They're 11-11 away from home, much better at home, where they're 18-6. This game tips off at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on TNT at the Toyota Center. Should be a fun one. And at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, the Pacers will take on the Trailblazers. The line is Portland minus 3.5. The over and under is 213.5. Damian Lillard with 31 points for the Blazers in their last matchup. Lillard is saying that he finally is feeling close to his normal self. We won't see Miles Turner, of course, as he continues to deal with a neck problem. Also, Tim Hardaway Jr. did return for the Knicks last night and scored 16 points. Moving on to Hot Stove. Early yesterday, ESPN reporting that JD Martinez was offered a 5-year deal in the range of $100 million to join the Red Sox. But last night, FanRag Sports talking to Scott Boras, the agent for Martinez, and he shot that down saying it's not accurate. Still, though, it looks like J.D. Martinez and the Boston Red Sox could be in marriage soon. We'll see what happens there, but they're going to have to work out the dollars, and it's never easy when you have Scott Boras involved. Mets general manager Sandy Alderson saying on Wednesday that Michael Conforto, as he continues to recover from a shoulder problem, will not be ready until the beginning of May. It looks like he's going to miss the first month, which can bump down his fantasy value, of course. Nobody likes to draft an injured player right out of the gate, But look, you know, if you're willing to wait on Conforto, a lot of potential shown again last year. 279 with 27 homers and 68 RBIs in just 109 games. A very, very natural hitter who's going to be a big part of that outfield for a long time to come. He's just got to stay healthy. There's been lots of rumors about Billy Hamilton possibly moving at one point to San Francisco, but according to the Cincinnati Inquirer, those talks have cooled. We have heard about Sam Dyson, but ideally Lorenzo Cain playing center field for San Francisco. The Cincinnati Inquirer saying that it's looking less and less likely that Billy Hamilton will not be in a Reds uniform next year. They're expecting him to be on the roster on opening day. According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Randall Grichuk does not like the prospect of being a fourth outfielder in 2018, but obviously the acquisition of Marcell Ozuna is going to crowd things further. According to NBC Sports Chicago, Carson Fulmer is going to get his chance to win a rotation spot. A lot of fantasy leaguers, especially mono-leaguers, AL-only leaguers, are going to have their eye on this development because Carson Fulmer is widely regarded as a guy with a lot of potential, but he hasn't matched it at all yet. I would not be surprised to see him spend more time in the minors because he wasn't good in the minors last year. He was 7-9 with a 5.79 ERA and a 1.58 WHIP at AAA. Seems like he needs to go to more seasoning, get more seasoning. You know, this is a guy that we've heard a lot about, that he's got all the stuff and he's very exciting. But in both AA and AAA, we just haven't seen results so far. Golf. The Career Builder Challenge tees off at La Quinta Country Club today at 11:40 a.m. Eastern. That's when round one begins. You can watch live coverage on the Golf Channel at 3 o'clock Eastern. That's when it starts. Also, live streams available on their website. Of course, if you still want to get in the lineup for the Career Build Challenge today, there's a lot to offer on the rotoexperts.com golf tab, our preview and picks with Matt Rumack, our newest golf analyst who plays himself, Dom Citterino. Check him out. And also Brandon Hagee withdrew ahead of the Career Building Challenge because of a wrist injury. Coming up next, one piece of NASCAR note. We'll talk about the NHL and some esports news next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, and NASCAR David Gilliland announced he's rejoining Ricky Benton Racing and will race in the number 92 Ford Fusion in the Daytona 500. Could be a decent punt play in DraftKings. We'll tell you more about that when the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour returns later this month. In the NHL, Columbus's Sandy Milano is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a torn oblique muscle, placed on injured reserve. Last night, two games, David Pastrnak and Ryan Spooner each scored an early goal. Tuukka Rask stopped 21 shots, and the Bruins beat Montreal 4-1. Brad Marchand added a power play goal. David Christie had an empty netter, and Patrice Bergeron had two assists for Boston. And also, Richard Rakell and Adam Henrique scored 135 apart as Anaheim beat the Penguins 5-3. Chris Wagner and Andrej Casey also scored for Anaheim in the middle period. Hampus Lindholm added an empty netter in the final second of the game. In industry news, as we continue to follow the bill to regulate daily fantasy sports in Nebraska, according to Omaha World Herald, the bill remained in limbo after opponents blocked a vote on the measure in the Nebraska legislature. State Senator Tyler Tyson Larson has been blacking the bill, but other imposing senators mentioning gambling links, etc. So this is in a holding pattern in Nebraska. PWNGG is a site that provides all the odds and stats for esports betting, with its Counter-Strike global offensive info being just the start. The site examines players, maps, and teams and provides in-depth stats for bettors, and they have a special promo code for our listeners. If you use 12PUNCH, you'll get 50% off a 12-month subscription as well as a free 2-week trial at pwn.gg. Use promo code 12PUNCH in honor of Zareen T and the show on this network. The Overwatch leak began week two of stage one last night, as we saw the Seoul Dynasty in the mismatch of the night. They had ranked number one in ESPN's power rankings, easily take out the Florida Mayhem in a sweep, 4-0. The Houston Outlaws got their first win, taking out the Shanghai Dragons in a sweep in what was termed by ESPN as the most dominant win of the season so far. Houston getting its first win. By the way, the Seoul Dynasty are now 3-0. The Florida Mayhem are 0-3. And the Shanghai Dragons, who lost to Houston, they're widely regarded as the worst team in the Overwatch League. They're now 0-3. The Philadelphia Fusion played it tight with the San Francisco Shock, but it was Philadelphia 2 and the Shock 1. The Shock have some illustrious ownership behind them, including Jimmy Rollins, Marshawn Lynch, and Jennifer Lopez. Here's what's coming up tonight in the Overwatch League. The Dallas Fuel will take on the Houston Outlaws at 5 o'clock. So all of these games are in Burbank, California. The New York Excelsior and Los Angeles Valiant at 7 o'clock, and both of those teams are 2-0, should be a good one. The Philadelphia Fusion and the L.A. Gladiators facing off at 8 p.m. Eastern. Also, ESPN and Rolling Stone noting that more than 10 million people watched the opening matches of the Overwatch League. After the league's first 4 days of matches, Blizzard Entertainment confirmed that they had an average of 408,000 viewers per minute for the weekend total. There was an average viewer count of 280,000 viewers. More esports news tomorrow on Fantasy Sports Today and everything else, of course. The Roto Experts are next here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.